hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM, and the program is Issues of Life. Eben, we thank God for another Saturday, the last Saturday for January. It seems January has it's on steroids, moving really, really fast. We just celebrated Christmas, and today is 30th of January. It's quite interesting. And Brother Yao is in Accra tonight. He'll be joining by phone in the course of the program. And we thank God for keeping us through the week and bringing us to the weekend again. Indeed, we are in very interesting times. Look at the news, look at events happening. Read your Bible, and if you are spirit-led and the Holy Spirit really talks to you, you should have feelings about the times that we live in. You know, right from the Bible days, it's been, you know, Paul wrote about it, Jesus spoke about it, Peter wrote about it, John wrote about it. You know, it may seem as though, well, what's the big deal? I mean, how different are we in this generation from the earlier generations and all that? But there's an interesting twist. If you analyze it carefully, we are seeing things which no other generation has seen. You see, fine, other generations have seen some, or one or two, or, I mean, this happened, that happens, but having a combination, a full set of combination of all the end time prophecies unfolding right before our time, before our eyes, it's no generation has seen it like we are doing. And even the things that previous generations saw, the levels at which we are seeing them, is something else. And it's just amazing where we find ourselves now. And I believe these are the times we have to start analyzing our walk with the Lord. These are the times we have to start questioning ourselves the hard way. Are we truly in the faith? Are we truly walking with the Lord? Are we truly living according to His will? Are we truly being led by the Spirit of God? You know, it's so easy to move with the masses, like autopilot, just move. Everything is moving. The system is just moving. Also flow along. You know, but when you decide to assess yourself, examine yourself, you would realize sometimes that you are failing in some areas, and you are not doing too well in some parts, and you know, you can really fix what you have to fix. It's so important, because we cannot continue playing games in the times we find ourselves in. No. You know, so 2 Corinthians 13:5 says that, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You know, you should be able to, if you are doing well spiritually, you should be able to know. If you are, you become lukewarm, you know. If you are on fire, you know. You know, so just reassess yourself, examine yourself to see where you find yourselves and where you should be that you are not, and do what you have to do. You know, tonight we are talking about preparing for the times ahead. You know, indeed, you know, a lot is happening, especially in the U.S., for those who understand the U.S. politics and what is happening. I'll be talking about some of them in the news. You see, and we say sometimes here that the U.S. is a reflection of the state of the world in terms of how some things go. So when the U.S. is going in a certain direction, it tells you that sooner than later, the rest of the world would slowly be following suit. So when you see some signals unfolding in the U.S., it should tell you that that's the state of the world gradually headed, and it's just a matter of time. You know, it's so easy to be comfortable and assume all is well, but we should not make that mistake and think all is well, because you see, when it comes to spiritual things, the forces behind things can make people do things which you would be amazed as to how come they are doing this. You know, last week one of our listeners sent me a message. He listened to a program on another radio station, and a top doctor in the country, I mean, let me read what he sent me. You know, you see, some of these things you would wonder, is it possible in this country? Yes, but he said, where's the message? Okay, huh? I was listening to a station yesterday. I'm skipping the name I'm just skipping the name. Between 6:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. And then a doctor, you mentioned a name, but I'm also leaving it, was saying they are going to sit down with pastors and educate them so that when the vaccine comes, members will take them. Now, this is the worrying part. And those who preach against them won't have it easy. We've been saying this here. We've been saying this here. And you ask yourself, yeah, this is Ghana. You see, and those who preach against them won't have it easy. So if top people have started saying this, that means that's what is going to happen. That's what they would do when eventually they have their way. You see, so, I mean, you would ask yourself, oh, but how? I mean, yes, we have our freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and all that. But here we go. I mean, if a top official can say that pastors who preach against the vaccines will not have it easy, it tells you where we are headed. So it will look like, oh, some of these things cannot happen. It can happen in Soviets, I mean, those places where, you know, but in our time now, in our modern Ghana, how can pastors be? Whoever thought that pastors can be arrested and some jailed for going to church when they should have closed their churches during last year's the lockdown era? Whoever thought that a time will come that in Ghana that you and I know, pastors will be harassed, arrested, taken to court, sentenced, and others to discharged after, I mean, prosecution didn't really push further and all that. But whoever thought a day will come that something like that can happen in this country? But it happened. So, you see,
some of these things, it may look far-fetched.
No. How come the time will come that Christians will not have it easy in the country, or pastors will be frustrated and government will attack them and for preaching? But here we go. I mean, the signals are being sent that, yes, we are getting there. So the things we've been saying on this program, we are getting there. That's why we say that some of the things we are saying, we know soon we cannot say it again, because the station cannot allow it to be said, because the system is changing. Yes, the system is changing. You see, and clamping down on these things, it's not only Ghana that is going to happen. It has started in the U.S. It's happening in some other places. We are talking of developed countries where freedom of law, I mean, everything works, the system works, the law and everything. But, you see, the powers that be are in charge and they are clamping down on free speech and truth. So when they determine that this is against what they determine as truth or their standard of the message, yes, they can fight it. So we are headed towards these things. You see, and all these things are forms of persecution from various angles or in various ways. But it should just give you a heads up information to understand that some of the things we hear happening in other countries is very possible to also happen here. We should never deceive ourselves that it cannot happen here. Never. If not at all, if pastors were jailed for opening their churches last year, then know that anything is possible. Anything is possible. And that's the season we are in. Let me read, start some of the news, and then we move on from there. We have 150 earthquakes, rock Spain in 30 days, sparking fears of coming big one. Over 150 earthquakes have rocked Spain since December, leading some experts to warn that a larger quake could come at any moment, according to a report from Express News. There have been more than 150 quakes that have transpired in the Granada province of Spain since December. Then we have Taiwan reports large incursion by Chinese Air Force. 8 Chinese bomber planes and 4 fighter jets entered the southwestern corner of Taiwan's air defense identification zone on Saturday. That's last week. And Taiwan's Air Force deployed missiles to monitor the incursion, the island's defense ministry said. China, which claims Taiwan as its own territory, has conducted almost daily flights over the waters between the southern part of Taiwan and the Taiwan-controlled Pratas Island in the South China Sea in recent months. However, they have generally consisted of just 1 or 2 reconnaissance aircraft. The presence of so many Chinese combat aircraft on this mission, Taiwan said it was made up of 8 nuclear-capable H-6K bombers and 4 J-16 fighter jets. That was unusual. And, you know, these wars and rumors of wars, China came to test the waters, you know, because new president has come. U.S. is the one who has been defending Taiwan and being more of like a hindrance. By now, China would have taken over Taiwan completely. Actually, they intend to do so. And with a new president coming in the U.S., I think they made this move quickly to see the reaction of U.S., the new president. And it's just a matter of time. One day we wake up and Taiwan has been taken over by the Chinese, you know, just as what has been happening in Hong Kong. There's an agreement and all that, but China has violated it. And, I mean, they are pushing out democracy, which has been, you know, they are just bullying these islands around and all that. And all these wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation and all that. Then we have this interesting news. Moderna, that's one of the vaccines company. Moderna CEO says that the virus to stay. Moderna CEO says virus to stay with the world forever. Interesting. Stefan Bansell painted the long road ahead in the war against the pandemic and just gave a stark assessment of the pandemic, stating there is good reason to expect a need for ongoing booster shots, that's booster injections or booster vaccines, to protect against mutations that could propagate other variants of SARS-CoV-2. That's the virus behind the global COVID-19 outbreak, according to Bansell. Quote, "I believe SARS-CoV-2 is going to stay with humans forever," unquote. I see. In an interview with Yahoo Finance Live, quote, "We are going to have boosts adapted to a virus like we have for the flu. It's the same thing. They are both mRNA viruses, and we are going to have to live with it forever," unquote. This comes as the company also announced it was also beginning a test of an additional booster dose of its vaccine, in what they are saying is out of an abundance of caution to potentially strengthen the immune response against emerging strains. Bansell noted that while the original two-dose vaccine did, in fact, preserve a protective response against the South African strain, with neutralizing antibodies diminished sixfold relative to prior variants. Quote, "The big question with the boost is going to be the dose," he said. "Do you need 25 or 50 or 100 micrograms? The current product that is authorized by the FDA is 100 micrograms, twice, a prime and a boost. If a dose was 50 or 25 micrograms, which is possible because your immune system is already prepared, you might not need to have a big increase of capacity," he said. This also follows President Biden drawing backlash for providing a pessimistic view of his administration's ability to combat the coronavirus pandemic in the near future after he recently indicated that the trajectory of the pandemic can't be changed in the coming months, no matter what Americans do. Quote, "If we fail to act, there will be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months as this pandemic rages on, because there is nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months," unquote, according to Biden. So there we go. Vaccine upon vaccine. So it's just, we are just beginning this whole series where, because, you know, for those who are aware or know about it, like in the US, the flu season, that's when the winter season comes, the flu. I mean, every year people have to go and get flu shots. That's for those who have problems with it and all that. So it's like every year people go and get flu shots in the US and some countries. So constant. I mean, when the weather changes, the flu, the cold, they go getting shots. So the Moderna CEO is trying to say something like that. That's, yes, I mean, COVID is going to be with us just like flu. So as and when it changes, then you go and get a booster vaccine. As and when it changes, you go for it. You see, this whole thing, we are very, very, very interesting times. You see, and that is where we are going. So it's no ending. And you see, when these people say these things, they know what they are saying. Because you see, this whole thing is, there is an agenda behind it. So they know, they just don't talk. They know exactly what they are saying. So it will look like, oh, just take one shot, take the vaccine and everything is over. And they keep changing the statements they make. Oh, okay, after taking it, it's not over. After you take it, you still have to protect yourself. You still have to put on nose masks. You still have to do social distancing. You still can't go here. You still can't. You see, so they keep shifting the poles, deceiving the world that, oh, the vaccine is going to, before the vaccine came, we were told, oh, when the vaccine comes, everything is over. Everything, life goes to normal. Then they started saying, oh, when the vaccine comes, life will not go to normal. And now the vaccine came and it's like the stories are changing again. So, you see, we are in a season which the truth is the world will never go back to as we knew it. No, the world has changed forever. And the consequences of it in terms of the demands that are going to go along with it, these are some of the things, this vaccine thing and, you know, to take or not to take, all these things, these challenges. And this is a season we are in. And then world leaders pledge a great reset after the pandemic. The World Economic Forum had their yearly program, and this one, it was the annual gathering of global political and business elites. And because of the pandemic, there was no physical event to attend, so it was online. But the agenda was re-echoed, the Great Reset. The pandemic has brought the need. I mean, some weeks ago, I read about it. I talked about the Great Reset agenda. You know, the whole Great Reset agenda, if you analyze it carefully, it is human control. It is a totalitarian system where people are going to lose their freedoms. And it's the rich and the elites and the powerful who dictate how people should live their lives. You look at it and you compare it to the Bible. It's not too far from the Antichrist system. That's exactly what, you see, they are using names and other words, you know, build back better, great reset. I mean, but the whole thing to them, the COVID has shown that the world system has to change. You have to reset it to a state and to a level which would be better for the world. I mean, and sometimes you read some of their statements, you know, the World Economic Forum leader, Schwab and his people, and it's like they talk as if the world, they own the world. The world is theirs, so they can do what they like with the world. And it's like, I mean, it's amazing, but that's the world we live in. Because they own, they have the power, they control the systems. And they decide how the world should go. And indeed, yes, that's what is happening. I mean, a lot of what we see happening is planned and is orchestrated by the powers that be. So if they want the world system to go this way, then they know the buttons to push or to press, and then the world begins to go that way. You see, for instance, you know, we've been buying petrol, for the price of petrol for some time now has been, from some few years, last 2 years, it's been relatively stable, because U.S., for instance, stopped importing oil from Middle East and other places because they started drilling their own. Then this new president comes and he's putting in measures to stop that so that the U.S. will soon start importing again. That means prices are going to push up again to higher levels. You see, when price of fuel goes up, the ripple effects of the economy, cost of living, food, transport, everything goes up. You see, they know what to do to shake the world economic system. They know. And that's exactly, you see, so they have a plan, and they believe that the pandemic, I quoted some of their statements, that the COVID has brought itself as the perfect timing or perfect opportunity that they have to take advantage of to cause this great reset they've been talking about. And as I said earlier, this great reset is nothing short of the Antichrist system that is rearing its head in another way, from the economic angle. And one other name they call it is the fourth industrial revolution. You know, all these things sound nice in the ear, but the practicality on the ground, you realize it's not as nice as it sounds. The strings attached is going to cause people to lose their freedoms. Countries' economies are going to crash, and eventually the very rich, the super rich, you know, for instance, this COVID came, millions of people have lost their jobs worldwide. Then hundreds of thousands of companies, small companies, have closed their doors, collapsed. Some would never, according to one financial report, some would never open again. A lot of businesses would never operate again. They've just closed for good. But whilst people are becoming poorer and poorer, the very rich have become super rich or super richer, let me put it that way, because the system is favoring them. So the rich are getting richer because of the current system. The lockdowns are favoring them. To some people, what is happening as people are getting poorer is to their advantage. So left with them alone, they will wish the system will be sustained. The lockdowns will keep coming, yes, so that the systems will still favor them. So that is exactly the world we are in. Some people are setting the stage for the great reset, as they will say. They are not hiding it. No, not at all. They are not hiding it. For those who remember the letter of the Archbishop's letter, one of the Archbishops in the U.S., the letter he wrote, open letter he wrote to Trump just before the elections, you know, he stated, if you go on spiritissues.info, I mean, you'll get it there. That letter is there. He stated exactly the things I'm talking about. He summarized it in that letter because there is an agenda that is unfolding. And now with Trump out of the way, it's free for all. I mean, U.S. was withdrawing. Okay, actually withdrew from the Paris Agreement and other ones. But now that U.S. is going back because the new president is part of their system, that means now the Great Reset can effectively take off. And that is it. That's the season we are in. Israel threatens to attack Iran if U.S. eases sanctions and rejoins the 2015 nuclear deal. And Israeli officials warned they will attack Iran if President Joe Biden eases the U.S. sanctions on Iran and rejoins the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, also known as the Iran nuclear deal. 2 weeks ago, Chachi Hanegbi, a cabinet member and top advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, threatened that Israel will take action, as it did against Iraq in the 1980s and against Syria in 2007, to prevent Iran from advancing its nuclear program. Habegi said, quote, if the U.S. government rejoins the nuclear deal, and that seems to be the stated policy as of now, the practical results will be that Israel will again be alone against Iran. This, of course, will not allow. We've already twice done what's needed to be done in 1981 against Iraqi nuclear program and in 2007 against the Syrian nuclear program, unquote. And this is according to the Times of Israel report. Then Steve Harvey, for those who know him, he's a comedian, entertainer in the U.S. I mean, during the last 2 years, the homecoming, whatever, I mean, he was in Ghana as well. He's a motivational speaker, a supposed Christian. I use the supposed Christian because of the news I'm coming to read. Steve Harvey says there's no one way to heaven. And this has become a trending news, I mean, online and all that. I believe some of you might have seen it. Internationally recognized comedian Steve Harvey stunned many of his Christian fans after he revealed that he believes there's more than one way to heaven. Okay. On Saturday, Harvey posted a video on his official YouTube channel titled, quote, How Steve Harvey Prays, unquote. That shows the family feud host at Abu Dhabi's Sheikh Zayed Grand Mosque in the United Arab Emirates, a majority Muslim Persian Gulf nation where Islam is the official religion. Whilst Christian expatriates in UAE are allowed to worship in private, they are prohibited by law from praying in public or evangelizing. Quote, there is no one way to heaven, no one way to paradise, unquote, Harvey declared. It's like television. Now there's over 800 channels on cable, and they are all pretty entertaining. So I'm pretty sure that to get to heaven, there's got to be more than one route. Because somebody's watching another channel or taking another channel than you, they are still getting entertained, and they probably still going getting to heaven, unquote. In the Bible, however, Jesus clearly states that he is the only way. Quote, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. Jesus said in John 14:6. In John 8:24, Jesus said, for unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You know, and on and on. You know, these are some of the things that causes people to be confused, because now you would have some weak Christians who follow him and admire him and see him as a role model, who would indeed fall for such a statement and start questioning the Christian faith and say that, oh, you know, because hitherto other big people, you know, the Pope and others, have been making these statements that Jesus is not the only way, there are other ways to heaven and all, to God and all that. So, you know, when you have such high level kind of people who say they are Christians, say such, yes, it can affect some weak ones who follow them, you know, but it tells you the deception and the falling away that the Bible also warned about, that in the last days people will also be falling away. And so let's be careful about such as well. Facebook bans Christian professor from platform for opposing Joe Biden's transgender military policy. A Christian university professor has been suspended from Facebook for voicing disagreement with President Joe Biden's executive order allowing trans-identifying individuals to serve in the U.S. military. Robert Gagnon, who teaches New Testament theology at Houston Baptist University and is a renowned scholar on the subject of sexuality, was logged out of his Facebook account for 24 hours on Tuesday after he posted a comment in defense of a friend who posted a satirical commentary about Biden's executive order. Facebook suspended Gagnon's account for what it deemed as incitement to violence. I mean, come on, what is this? In his post, Gagnon said the executive order will endanger women and noted that those who promote transgenderism are allowing males to invade women's athletes and shelters. He also likened transgender ideology as a religious cult and said it's indeed a pseudoscience in that it forces people to reject basic biology. That Facebook suspended his friend for similar comments proves the cult-like dimension, he said. Facebook subsequently sent Gagnon a notice informing him that his words violated their community standards on violence and incitement, unquote. There was absolutely no incitement to violence on our part. We abhor violence done to any person, Gagnon told PJ Media on Tuesday. This is just a thinly veiled and pathetic excuse for censorship of any critical views towards trans tyranny over our consciences, religion, and reason. Only one point of view is being allowed, he continued. Trump was not the greater danger to the Republic. Left wing counseling of things is. After the day long Facebook suspension was lifted, Gagnon posted on his page on Thursday, "We are in the midst of a rapidly accelerating public censorship of our views with compelled speech, but we are not the victims." A neat trick, and on and on. And indeed, a lot of attack is coming on Christians and conservatives on social media now, because I mean, now they are all out. You post something that goes against their community rules and you are off. It's all part of the persecution. It's starting from a certain point, you know. There was one article I read a few weeks ago, and indeed that's the whole plan that is unfolding, where it's a planned thing actually to protect the LGBT group. So, and by so doing, the church or Christians are going to be heavily persecuted. It's like they are going to set the system in a way that churches and Christian schools and social media and anything said against LGBT disapproval, whatever, is going to receive the harshest of responses. You know, and it's like a gag order. Don't talk about it. Don't preach against it. Don't pray against it. I mean, do not respond to it in any way they deem as wrong. And that is where the issue is. So we are going to have situations where either you compromise as a pastor in such places, because that is how the system is going to be, or you go on and say God's word as it is and you get persecuted for it. The next news is Army chaplain suggests transgender soldiers could be mentally unfit. Now he's under investigation because of the remarks. I mean, that's it. I mean, you say what is the truth and they say no. You can't agree. We can't agree to it. An army chaplain is under investigation after he reportedly said that transgender soldiers are mentally unfit and unqualified to serve in the U.S. Army, or U.S. military. On Monday, President Joe Biden issued an executive order reversing former President Donald Trump's ban on transgender people serving in the military. According to a military report from Daily Mail, Army Chaplain Major Andrew Calvert is facing an investigation after he made the remarks on an article that appeared on his Facebook feed. He reportedly made the remarks the same day Biden overturned overturned Trump's previous ban. How is rejecting reality, that's to bracket biology, not evidence that a person is mentally unfit and thus making that person unqualified to serve? He wrote, as reported by the Daily Mail, there is little difference in this than other that over those who believe and argue for a flat earth. Despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary, the motivation is different, but the argument is the same. And because of this post, he's being investigated. You know, it's like now you dare not, you say it, and someone sees it, is offended, he reports, and that's it, they take you on and on. Twitter suspends Christian magazine for saying Biden's trans nominee is a man, not a woman. Twitter has suspended the Christian magazine's account for reporting that one of President Joe Biden's nominee is a man who believes he's a woman. Daily Citizen, a publication of the Colorado Springs-based focus on the family, tweeted on January 19 that Biden's nominee for Assistant Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, is a transgender woman. That is, a man who believes he's a woman, along with a link to an article about the nomination. As a result, the social media giant locked the magazine out of its account, informing the publication that the tweets violated Twitter's user rules forbidding hateful conduct. The Daily Citizen appealed the suspension, but was informed that its account will remain locked until it deletes the tweet. Twitter wrote in a subsequent email to the magazine, quote, "Hi, Daily Citizen. Your account at Focus Citizen has been logged for violating the Twitter rules, specifically for violating our rules against hateful conduct. You may not promote violence against, threaten, or harass other people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or serious disease," unquote. Please note that the requested violations may lead to a permanent suspension of your account, the email said. Proceed to Twitter now to fix the issue with your account. The Daily Citizen said in its reply to Twitter that numerous media outlets have reported on the nomination and wrote in their articles that Levine was born male and remains a man who believes he's a female. Levine has undergone elective cosmetic surgery and taken cross-sex hormones in an attempt to look more like a woman physically. The magazine has insisted that it never promoted violence and rejected Twitter's claims that it violated its rules. Quote, "As a Christian organization, we would never do so. We simply explain to our readers the appointment and define what transgender women are. Those born male who believe they are a woman, regardless of whether they have had opposite sex hormones or surgeries," unquote. And that is it. And another news even makes it even worse. Twitter encourages users to snitch on each other with a bird watch feature. So now they've added a feature that makes it even easier to report other people's posts, which you are not happy about. So social media giant Twitter has announced a new feature called Bird Watch, which aims to encourage users to police and flag each other's tweets if they believe they spread misinformation. And this is where the problem is. The misinformation, who defines what is the misinformation? So it's their standard. The one who is sitting in their office or wherever he or she is working from as an auditor or reviewer, if he thinks that what you said is wrong or what you tweeted was wrong, it doesn't meet their standards. That is it. So what you said may be true or it would be true. But so far as they think it's not true, it's misinformation, so they can punish you for it. You know, this is cyberbullying and abuse of the power that they have. And it's becoming worrying because, for instance, you know, this WhatsApp issue came up and people started leaving and moving to Telegram. This week, there are two cases pending I've heard of, I read in the news, where they've started putting pressure on Google Play Store, Google, to remove Telegram from the Play Store, and Apple to also remove it from their iOS, I mean, shop or whatever. And so they did the same thing to Parler, because, you know, when they blocked Trump and he had an account there, so it's like, oh, then that place too is dangerous. And they have their freedom of speech there. They can write whatever they want and no one is censoring them. So they took them off and they shut their systems, you know, all that. Now, the same thing is that same pressure is being mounted on Telegram, because Telegram too, people are able to post freely and share things freely, unlike the way Facebook and Twitter is blocking and suspending people senselessly. See, so they control the system. Either you join them or they will clamp down on you. And see, this abuse of power, you know, so now there's one GAB is something like Facebook type. And he decided to build his own system. It took him about 4 years to build his own service. So he is not really part of, they can't really shut him down like they did to Parler and they want to do to Instagram. You see, because they control so much power. And if you understand exactly what is happening, it's freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Is it indirectly? That's exactly what they are targeting. It looks like, oh, they are targeting, you know, their so-called community standards. But the reason behind these suspensions and banning and all that, terminating accounts and all, is freedom of speech and freedom of religion that they are tackling. And the freedom of religion, to be specific, Christians and conservatives. So you have a case, there's a case now pending in courts in the US where a child was abused, a boy was abused, and that video was on Twitter, and through other people, and the boy has grown a little, requested that Twitter removes that video, and Twitter says it doesn't violate their standards. So the video was still there, or is still there. So you see the double standards. How can a child being abused sexually is allowed to still stay on Twitter, but people make statements which so-called goes against the community standard? Their accounts are even terminated, like Trump's account terminated and all the other people, like this Christian magazine, you know, things which is just information that you posted, not graphic, I mean, porn or sexually something. But the one that is really, really bad, that one, they say doesn't go against their community standards. And I tested this last year, where there was this video, a picture I saw, someone posted it, and it looked a bit, it wasn't good. I mean, semi-nude lady in Ghana and something. And so I sent, you know, you can report that Facebook removes it. They responded to me that there's nothing wrong with the picture. I was amazed when I saw that response. It's like, wow. I mean, so you see, they have a double standard. What is wrong? What is really wrong that shouldn't be on the system? That one, they say, oh, there's nothing wrong. But what they think is wrong, which is not even wrong, that is what they say is wrong. So they are taking off. This is the world we find ourselves in. And you shouldn't think it's just social media, so it doesn't. It's just a reflection of the mindsets of the world against Christians. And this is where that hatred for Christians is gradually building up. So when the Bible says that you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake, it's just a reflection of that hatred that we are seeing on social media. Soon, it will be reflecting in other ways, on the streets, in your office, in your school. That same hatred is going to be exerted against Christians. Because oh, you believe in this, you believe in that. Yeah, you there, you are this, you are anti that. That hatred that is happening online is going to reflect in reality in your office, in your neighborhood, in your with your neighbors and all that. Let me quickly go through a few and then we are done. The program is Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. For those online, greetings to you all in various places. Okay, so we have newly confirmed Secretary of State in the U.S. vows to promote LGBT agenda. New okay, new law. The newly confirmed U.S. Secretary of State has vowed to support LGBT agenda by flying pride flags at United States embassies and resurrecting the special envoy for human rights of LGBT persons. Anthony Blinken, who was confirmed 78-22 votes by the United States Senate on Tuesday, shared his thoughts about LGBT issues during the Senate confirmation hearing last week, which took place before President Joe Biden took office. And, you know, the bottom line is he supports U.S. embassies having, during June, you know, which is the Pride Month, aside the U.S. flag, that is the symbol of the country that flies at the U.S. embassies worldwide. They will also have the LGBT flag, the rainbow, also flying alongside the U.S. flag at the embassies. You know, it was happening in Obama's time. Trump came and he stopped it. And the new king, new law, they are going back again to Obama era, the LGBT things that were happening. And the vowing goes beyond that. They're also going to countries where, you know, start putting pressure on countries which are not agreeing to LGBT and all, which have laws against gays and, you know, to champion the cause. So a lot of championing is going to be done, as well as, you know, they are going to push abortion worldwide. You know, of course, Africa is going to be a major recipient of these things, donor funding to push abortion, to push, you know, a lot of evil things. But that's the world we live in. And this news is a bit worrying. Parents with, today is the last news item, parents with teenagers should pay attention to this. We did the digital parenting last 3 years. And in the course of this year, God willing, now we'll be treating digital parenting again. We have a lot of new listeners and a lot of factors have increased regarding what we thought the last time, the last period we did digital parenting. And we have to keep ourselves refreshed and remind ourselves of the challenges and the dangers we are really being exposed to in recent times. So in the next few weeks, we'll be dealing with digital parenting again. And I believe parents and others and listeners will really be blessed as well. Social media damages teenagers' mental health. Teenagers' mental health is being damaged by heavy social media use, a report has found. Research from the Education Policy Institute and the Prince's Trust said well-being and self-esteem were similar in all children of primary school age. Boys and girls' well-being is affected at the age of 14, but girls' mental health drops more after that, it found. A lack of exercise is another contributing factor, exacerbated by the pandemic, the study said. According to the research, 1 in 3 girls was unhappy with their personal appearance by the age of 14, compared with 1 in 7 at the end of primary school. The number of young people with probable mental illness has risen to 1 in 6, up from 1 in 9 in 2017. Boys in the bottom set of primary school had lower self-esteem at 14 than their peers. the well-being of both genders fell during adolescence, with girls experiencing a greater decline, the report said. However, it recognized that girls' self-esteem and well-being stabilizes as they move into their late teens, whereas it continues to drop for boys. Heavy social media use was linked to negative well-being and self-esteem, regardless of a young person's mental state, with more girls experiencing feelings of depression and hopelessness. Quote, those who feel worse may turn to social media for solace and community, unquote, Dr. Amy Auburn, research fellow at Emmanuel College, University of Cambridge, said of the research. Quote, it's not a vacuum. It works both ways, unquote. The research uses data from 5,000 young people in England from the Millennium Cohort Study. Focus groups were also carried out in November to examine the effect of the coronavirus pandemic on these ages. Family income, exercise, poor maternal health also contributed to young people's mental state, the study found. But regular exercise had a positive impact on both genders, the report said. Participation in activities and sports will have fallen considerably due to school closures and lockdown, likely adversely affecting mental health and well-being, it added, and on and on. And indeed, other countries have seen other reports too, where suicide rates are also going up for teenagers and the youth as well. You know, a lot is happening. These lockdowns and the school closures, and I mean, people's parents losing their businesses, poverty. There was one news which I forgot to add. I mean, U.S., the poverty levels in the U.S. is really, really going up. More people becoming poor now in the U.S. because of the lockdowns and business closures. And in other countries too, same. You know, so gradually the poverty levels in the world is increasing, and it's not going to end, because clearly the turn at which COVID has turned, and right from beginning of the year now, shows that a whole lot of the world is still in. We are not out of the woods at all. This whole new variant, South African variant, the UK variant, and now we have the South American one, and other ones which are still being investigated in other places. You know, so clearly, the whole thing is turning to another level. And as the Moderna CEO said, this thing is going to revolve. For listeners of issues, I remember one of the editions somewhere last year, I said that with the first wave or whatever last year, which Africa wasn't seen to be, you know, wasn't so heavily affected, whilst Europe, Italy, and, you know, the US heavily affected. I sat on this chair here, in this chair, in this studio, and said Africa should be careful, because these people will do something that would hit Africa, unlike what we're going through. And that's where we are. Now the current variant seems to really be making a lot of negative impact. The youth are being affected and also dying and getting more sicker than earlier, you know. So, you know, we should know that this system, you know, I'm not a prophet, but, you know, when you know how these people are operating and how they operate and their agenda and what they seek to achieve, you can predict and know that this is what they are going to do. So if the first one didn't hit us, by all means, they'll do something that will hit us. Now, children, Konfanoche, this week I saw the news, Konfanoche children's units, I mean, a lot of children, I think so far they have 9, even 11-day-old having COVID and all. You know, so the earlier one, children were not really heavily affected. Few, but now children are also now getting affected seriously. So this is the world we live in. This is the world we live in. I'll be back. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3. After this short interlude, I will follow Christ.
The 12 of you walked on the earth together. The
father was a brother to you all. The teaching that you heard was the living word, the wonders and the miracles you saw.
There were times of awesome inspiration. There were times you didn't understand. When he had to go and you felt alone, it must have been so hard to see his plan.
I think about the way you carried on
in the face of persecution, you stood strong.
So I will follow Christ. I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my faith.
I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life.
As for me, no man.
Have to look across the ages. His voice is speaking in my heart today. His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame.
His life a shining star to show the way.
I will follow Christ and I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my faith. I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life. As for me, no matter what the sacrifice, yes, I will follow.
Why do you have a camera on your hat?
This is the S-Best 2000 Salvation by Electroshock Therapy. This camera sees everything you're doing. This microphone hears everything you're saying. If you do or say anything contrary to the Ten Commandments, it'll give you a shock that'll curl your toes.
So what's the point?
By wearing this hat, you will keep the Ten Commandments, causing your life to be so holy that God will let you into heaven.
For $19.95, it ought to sell like hotcakes.
That's not going to work.
I've been working on this for 5 years. I mean, 2 years. Okay, 2 weeks. 2 weeks already.
That must hurt.
Yeah, but it kept me from lying, and I remain holy before God. Well, sort of.
Fred, you're only changing your actions. In order to get into heaven, your heart has to be pure. And the only way to do that is to ask God to forgive you. Why bother with the SPES 2000?
Because I am highly concerned with the salvation. Okay, I'm trying to make a buck here.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Hi, looking for... the shocking therapy. Okay, welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I will follow Christ. The 12 of you walked on the earth together. The Father was a brother to you all. The teaching that you heard was the living word. The wonders and the miracles you saw. There were times of awesome inspiration. There were times you didn't understand. And when he had to go, you felt alone. It must have been so hard to see his plan. I think about the way you carried on. In the face of persecution, you stood strong. I will follow Christ. I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my faith. I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life. As for me, no matter what the sacrifice, I will follow Christ. Now I don't have to look across the ages. His voice is speaking in my heart today. His word is like a flame consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way. I will follow Christ. I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my faith. I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life. As for me, no matter what the sacrifice, I will follow Christ. I behold your life and see the man you want me to become. Living like someone whose heart belongs to the kingdom that was sealed on Calvary. I'll show the world what I believe. And on, the I'll follow Christ repeats itself. And, you know, this song is really a song of our time that we need to make the affirmation that, yes, we are going to follow Christ. Not just in the saying, but in the living and the lifestyle. You know, as I said earlier in the news, yes, the times we are living in is really telling of the times coming. You know, you don't need to be a prophet to be able to foresee that Christians are headed towards difficult times in terms of the conflict of their faith and the system, the world system, as it were, you know. So we are headed to the point where one has to contend with the system regarding their faith, because we gradually the hatred, as I said, is increasing. The you know, and a lot US, there's a new bill which is in the Congress now, and when that bill comes out, I mean, and it's passed into law, eventually it's really going to clamp down on freedom of speech in terms of Christians, conservatives, and all that. You know, and as I said earlier, it starts from there. You know, the US is a pace setter. So when plans are being made to persecute or control and target Christians in the land of the free like the US, then it tells you what is coming on the greater world out there. Because, I mean, you can't imagine that Christians are going through or are going to face persecution in a place like the U.S. I mean, who would imagine that's happening in our time? But that's it. It's unfolding gradually. And that bill, I mean, I read portions of it. And it's just crazy. But that's it. You know, the system is anti-God. And see, I've been saying it, the Antichrist system is unfolding gradually. So, suddenly, there's extreme hatred for anything godly from the left.
they just hate anything godly, anything Christ, anything Christian. They just have a strong hatred for it. And see, so when systems are being set, plans are being made to target those on the right, that's the Christians, the conservatives, gradually it was spread to other places. It was spread. You know, even my friends in the US, my mates and all that, I mean, there are some of us, I mean, we've had disagreements on some of these issues. See, friends, we've been friends for years, I mean, close to 30 years and all that. But because of the system where they find themselves, you know, they become indoctrinated, and they see you here in Ghana who is still holding on to your Christian values and all these creepy things. They see you as, you know, you are crazy. You know, I mean, that's how bad it is. Because you see, so it tells you how a system can influence you negatively. So some were Christians, all right, and some are still Christians, but the system has made them see true Christianity as, oh yeah, it's too extreme, we can't be like that, so let's stay with the moderate Christianity where we accept anything goes. We accept the worldly system a little, we accept anything goes type of thing, flexible type of Christianity. And this is where it now begins to put pressure on the real Christians who are standing on their faith to the latter in terms of what the Bible says, the standard of the Bible. You know, so if you read, let me quickly get into the Bible, read Daniel chapter 3. It's very popular. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, and it's just a reflection of the times we are going to face, or we are gradually facing in terms of some parts of the world, as it is already happening. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, and on and on and on. And then let me skip to, and then said the verse 4. Then an herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, and all the instruments, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, and all the other instruments, I'm just skipping them, and the languages, and fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They speak and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the hornet and all the various instruments and all that shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of all the various instruments, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so,
our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And then, you know, we all know the story. The king got angry and they were thrown into the furnace and all that. You know, that decision making regarding the system where it's like everybody is doing this. Everybody agrees, oh, we are all going this way. And you alone, you say, oh, I'm going the opposite way. That pressure, the masses looking at you as you are too known, you alone, we are all Christians. Why are you? You see, it's so strong an influence on you. If you are not very careful, you eventually also give in to the pressure of the masses. See, so we are getting to the point where we should know God for ourselves. You know, just as the three Hebrew boys or the Jews knew their own, they knew their God. So they were not worshipping the God, the gods of the king. They knew their God. So even if God is not going to save them, they will still not bow. We have to start building ourselves and our faith along that line, because we are going to get into that conflict with the system, our faith versus the system. The system says everybody is doing it, but your faith also fails that no. Your word, the Bible, your Christianity and everything tells you that no, this is wrong. At that point, which way do you follow or which way do you go? And this is the deciding factor in the difficult times ahead for Christians, because, you know, things will be difficult for Christians because Christians will want to stand by their faith. But if you would want to just give in, then you just follow the system and life is normal. You see, so that is where you just don't get up and get into such a situation and just overcome. You should be strong within, spiritually, emotionally, and all, to be able to stand in such situations. That's why, you see, lots of warnings have been given. The Lord is giving various warnings from various people, children, adults, young, old, male, female, black, white, various, you know, to warn the church of the times ahead, the times coming. We should prepare, we should brace ourselves, we should grow in the Lord, we should build our faith. Because, you see, you can't build your faith overnight. No. You cannot just today build your faith, tomorrow then you are super strong spiritually. It doesn't happen. No, there's no magic potion that you can just drink and suddenly your faith is built up super strong, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then also Daniel, when they said you shouldn't pray, Daniel 6, I believe. You know, these things, you just don't grow spiritually. You just don't, just like if you hit the gym right now, you can do all the push-ups and the bench, whatever, and the press-ups and the liftings and everything. You can do the whole night, as many hours you can do. Then tomorrow, your body will still not change. And people will see you, rather you look tired, because it's like, oh, your muscles will not just suddenly, it's in cartoons that people's muscles can just suddenly expand in a cartoon. No, but in real life, no. You just don't grow within hours physically. I mean, just like you just go to a gym after 2, 3, 4 hours, then suddenly your muscles ramble. It doesn't happen. There's no drink you can drink to achieve that. There's no food you can eat to achieve that. There's no exercise you can do to achieve that. It's a process, a painstaking process that you have to go through, endure a period of time, and gradually to be growing. It's the same way in the spiritual realm. That's how it is. You just cannot mature and be strong spiritually in your faith overnight. No, you have to grow. It's a process you have to go through. You have to feed yourself spiritually. You have to grow. You have to pray. You have to grow. You have to read the word, meditate, fast. I mean, it's a process. You see, so when we are ignoring the warnings,
to be doing what we should be doing now to grow, and expect that when the situation turns around against us, suddenly we can overcome, is the biggest deception we'll be making. Because, you know, at that point, we will not have that energy, that inner strength to be able to overcome the system. Because we've not matured to meet the demands of the time. Because, you see, there's a certain level of spiritual capacity we will need to overcome in the times ahead. And that inner strength is the Holy Spirit that can give us that strength and that empowerment. But if we are not communing and growing and allowing Him to mature us to reach that level where we should be, then when the situation turns against us, we'll be found wanting, because we'll be, it's like, no, that's for this one there. No. That's not what my pastor told me. That's not what I subscribe to be a Christian to endure. No. So that's where the people also be falling away, because they will not be ready to stand for their faith. So that's the essence of these warnings. You know, in the era of Jeremiah in the Bible, I mean, other prophets were saying other things. Oh, all will be well. All will be well. So when Jeremiah was saying the opposite, the others are saying all will be well. You know, it's interesting and worrying, but that's the reality. So it looks like, oh, what's the big deal? I mean, you people just scare us. And then, so it's like you're a lone ranger, or a few voices are saying the opposite, whilst the masses are saying opposite, the other side. But, you know, at the end of the day, the worrying thing is, the truth shall always prevail. And if not at all, nothing at all, the times we are in, if really you've been following the news, and as I said at the beginning of the program, the Holy Spirit is with you, you should be picking signals of where we are and where we are headed. You see, that's one essence of one purpose of the Holy Spirit. John 16 is even written on our studio wall here. John 16, 13, 14. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. I don't know which version this is, but okay, let me read it like that. For He will not speak on His own initiative. Mm-mm. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. King James says He will show us what is to come. The Holy Spirit is to give us advanced knowledge of what is ahead of us. So that's why I keep saying that if we have the Holy Spirit with us, we should be picking the signals of where we are and where we are going. Because the Holy Spirit will be guiding you and giving you information that this is where we are headed as a church. These are the times ahead of us. So when you see the news, you watch the news, you read the news, the Holy Spirit is able to connect it with what you see in the Bible. That this is in the Bible, and this is what is happening, and this is what is unfolding. So prepare. That's the essence of the Holy Spirit as well, to teach us and show us what is ahead of us. But if we shut our ears and will not listen to what He is saying within us, and also what He is saying to other people, to also to us, then we are deceiving ourselves. And I believe it's important at least our listeners, the listeners of Issues of Life, will not make the mistake of shutting their ears from the warnings that the Lord is giving through various voices, both within this country and without. A lot. Brother Yah will be joining us soon via phone, and we'll be proceeding from there. And the next few editions, yes, we'll be on this agenda, preparing ourselves for the times ahead. What should we do? How are we going to prepare? You know, it's very critical, because that's the time we are in. The season demands and calls for serious preparation spiritually. It doesn't matter what, I mean, if you are not being told this by your pastor or in church, it still doesn't change the reality or the facts on the ground. The fact on the ground is the season has changed. And when the season changes, you also have to adapt to the new season. So don't look at the masses and say that, oh, everybody is going there this way, so let me also follow. No, follow the voice within. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, brethren.
Yeah, poor man.
By the grace of Jesus, we're doing well in Accra. People are coveting themselves. We are also Christing ourselves.
We thank God.
Yes, sir.
So I believe you'll be monitoring online.
By grace. Yes,
okay, and so that's it. You know, this morning. Sometimes, like in the course of the week, the Holy Spirit gives me, okay, this week we should talk about this and all that. But, you know, this morning I said, well, I was still not sure what are we talking about. Then, for some strange reason, I just saw this message, a book, a cover of a book. The title is Last Day Survivor Guide. And, you know, sometimes, as soon as I saw it, the Spirit just pointed me that, yes, this is what you are to talk about now. Last Day's Survival Guide. I don't have the book. I've not read it. I don't know the content of it. But at least the title says it all. Last Day's Survival Guide. You know, and as I was saying before your call came in, we should prepare. You just can't live life like on autopilot. I mean, just eat, sleep, go to work, go to school, just like that. No. The times we are in calls for a different approach to our lifestyle. And the earlier we adjust and start, working on ourselves, the better. And that's the reason why for the next few weeks we are embarking on this topic as the Spirit leads us. So we can take off from there.
Reverend, let me say, God richly bless you and all the listeners of Spirit FM 88.3 megahertz. And as you said, I monitored the news, and especially with regards to these accounts being suspended, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and others. I just shared a post this evening that, God willing, tomorrow happens to be my last day. I'll be logging off for good on WhatsApp, do we call it
Facebook? Yeah.
And YouTube as well. God willing, one of the stories you were reading, the message that they gave that Christian magazine is the same message that they gave me about you should sign and agree that you will not discriminate against sexual orientation, against religion, against. You talk about race. I don't discriminate against race.
Yeah.
You talk about somebody being a disability. I don't. Do that. Talk about country of origin. I don't do that. But when it comes to sexual orientation, when you come into gayism, lesbianism, when it comes into transgenderism, when it comes to Islam, Buddhism, Freemasonry, Illuminati, there is no way I will say I will not discriminate. I'll continue discriminating until I die. Because my God says so. He said, be not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He said, rather we should preach to them for them to come to Christ. So if Jesus said we should preach to Muslims, Buddhists, traditionalists, of course, transgenders and others, gays, lesbians, we don't hate them. But we must tell them the truth to come to Christ. And you tell me I should sign a document, I should click on yes, meaning I've agreed, I will not discriminate. Then it means that you want me to compromise my faith.
Yeah.
When I said I'm leaving Facebook, many people are saying, why are you leaving? I said, you must know what I'm saying. This is the document they brought me. That I should click yes. If not, I cannot post. And the same thing for YouTube, they told me I've gotten one stroke. So if I want, I should go.
double punishment.
I should go back and remove the message I placed there. And the message I placed there was something that was educating people from some of your own doctors. So when I tried again uploading, and they told me, you've gotten many strokes, you cannot upload videos again. Yes. So, you know, I don't have to compromise my faith to be on social media. No. When social media was not there, we were preaching.
Oh, yeah.
At the time of Jesus, Peter didn't have social media, but the Holy Spirit drew Peter at just one preaching. No, I'm not sure there were megaphones, there were nothing, there were no speakers, but at a go, 3,000 souls gave their life to Christ.
Yeah.
So if they were able to do it, one time to at a go, 5,000 souls. Mm-hmm. If they were able to do it, then I don't need social media to preach to a lot of people.
Yeah.
While we had the time, we used it very well. But now, if they want us to compromise our standard just to be very much available on social media, I cannot do that. So just tomorrow, which is the last day of the month, I'm logging out of Facebook, I'm logging out of YouTube, I'll leave the pages there. From there, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Whatever they like, they can do with it. I wouldn't go there to do anything again.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
As we said, we started what?
Yeah, little by little. Twitter, I've closed my two accounts there.
That is it. You get it. So I will come, as I said, we'll be using Facebook for a while. We know it is for. We'll be using WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And we are moving. As you said, they want to now be on how these people. Telegram.
Telegram, yeah.
But whatever they will do, they will suck us and we'll continue running until we see that we cannot be on any of their platform. Then we know that God has made us finish our work. Then we move to the next one that God will give us. That is all. So we are not going to compromise our stand.
Yeah.
The word of, and one of the stories you read that somebody monitored a radio station here in the country,
yeah,
or in Kumasi, where they were saying pastors are going to get it tough.
Yeah.
We are ready for that tough. We're not going to keep quiet, no. And a time is coming, as we'll be saying, even this, our own radio station. We know a time will come, the pressure will be hot.
Oh, yeah.
But they will not allow it. It's just normal. That is why we tell people, when we come, the things we're telling you, keep them now.
Oh, yeah.
A time is coming, you may not get such messages.
Jesus
Christ warned in Amos chapter 8, mm-hmm, verse 11 and verse 12. Let me just read it. You know, there are a lot of things Jesus said in the Bible. Now they are becoming very raw, because there are some of the things you see, you ask, how will this thing happen? But as the things continue unfolding, you are seeing the news. And, you know, many of us have learned the Bible, but we are not applying it.
Mm-hmm.
We are not listening to what is happening in the world to link the prophecies and the messages the Lord gave with what is happening.
Yeah.
So if you know the Bible very well, and you don't even know current happenings in the world,
yeah,
you are not hearing them. Prophecies will be is being fulfilled, but you may not know
it's true
that those prophecies are being fulfilled. Let's look at Amos. Amos chapter 8, verse 7 and 12. Amos 8, 11 and 12. He said, behold, the days cometh, saith O God, that I will send famine on the land, not of famine of bread, nor of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it.
Mm-hmm.
It is coming. Now they are clamping down on social media gradually, gradually, gradually. As Raymond said, it will not be on social media. It will come on TV. It will come on radio. You know, the radio station that I use in Accra, Rainbow Radio, the man has two radio stations in London. I called him, we were talking, and he said, yeah, well, how about the associated them? He said, they have given us a letter that if we allow anybody to come on our radio to speak contrary or anything bad about the person, they will redraw our license or fine out. So the question I'll be asking is that, why is it that democracy all of it such decided when it came to corona, democracy doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
And just today, early in the morning, the Lord made me to do a certain post in a picture form. And he said, I know very much that the mask we are wearing, it protects us, it has benefits, because our doctors and others have been using it, our engineers and others. But much as it helps us, it protects us physically, it is sending a signal. First of all, when you wear the mask, how many people are able to recognize you?
Mm-hmm.
It means our identity is about being changed. That's a message they are sending. Our identity is about being changed or being erased, being covered. Then secondly, when you wear the mask, how many people are able to talk comfortably? It means free speech, democracy is about to pass, to give way to totalitarian rule. And this is what is happening. Now social media is totalitarian.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't think like them, no.
Mm-hmm.
A time is coming. The governments are going to follow suit. Governments of the world. I'm not talking about MPP. You know, when you tell people want to brand you, I am a born and bred MPP. Me. For those who know me, you go to Tamale, they will talk about me. Alhaji Ali Umahama, before he died, I was the news editor. Alhaji Boniface Abubakar Sadiq is a very good friend of mine. I'm a born and bred MPP. But I don't play politics. It's about Christianity. When you come to Christ, you follow Christ.
Yeah.
So governments in the world, they will also take the center stage with the, what the man said on radio that the person sent to you. If the man doesn't know what he's talking about, he doesn't know what he's standing upon, will he say that pastors will going to be hard on them, those that will speak against it? And we're going to speak. You know why? We will speak the truth. We wouldn't be the first people to die. No. When we die, others will come. And there is one thing, Reverend, I know that nothing can stop the word of God. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will never happen. In the midst of the Great Tribulation, I've been saying this. In the midst of the Great Tribulation will be the greatest revival ever in the world.
It's true.
The greatest evangelistic move that nobody has ever seen since the world began will be happening at the time of the Great Tribulation. Don't be afraid, my brother, my sister, anybody listening, us now, don't be afraid. What we're telling you rather is to prepare you physically, spiritually, psychologically,
emotionally.
If you're going to play with Manchester United and you know you are a second division team, you hear the name Manchester United, what do you do? Training you have never done, you people who want to do it. So this is what God wants. He doesn't want you to take his children by surprise.
Yeah.
But suddenly when we are warning, you have satanic pastors, demonic pastors, occultic pastors, ignorant pastors who have sold their soul to the devil, that they will be speaking jars and nonsense. Brethren read a message. There is a signal there many of us, we don't know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The entire Israel was at that place, Babylon. So the leadership of Israel was there. The pastors and the Pharisees and the scribes, they were also there. And they all bow to the image. But these three boys, the Bible called them boys, Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they didn't follow the Pharisees. They didn't follow the scribes. They didn't follow the leaders of the church. They didn't follow their priests, their mothers, their fathers. They didn't follow their kings who had then bowed. They stood for God. My dear brother, my dear sister, don't follow any pastor. Don't follow any woman of God. Don't follow any king. Don't follow any leader. If there is anybody you must follow, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never bowed. So these are the kind of things. Tonight we're going to learn a little. You need to be prepared. Those who have, they have told you, rapture is coming. Why isn't it happening now? Are you still waiting for rapture? This thing we're going into? Rapture? No. One of the greatest mistakes the church has fallen for, the greatest error the church has fallen for, is preaching that rapture will come before Great Tribulation.
Yeah.
The Antichrist will not meet us here. It's a lie. The mark of the beast will not meet us here. It is a lie.
And
let me tell you, Satan will never invest in a wrong doctrine for nothing.
Yeah.
Satan really knows what that doctrine will do.
Mm-hmm.
You have been told the mark of the beast will not meet you here. So anything that comes now, if anybody tells you it's the mark of the beast, you will not believe it. Because you think the church must be taken away before the mark of the beast will come.
Yeah.
So when it comes, you will go and take it without knowing you have taken the mark. God willing, next week, by that time, we will be going to a certain village, but I will try and leave the village. I will leave there and come Saturday. I want to be in the studio. We will take time. Many people don't know what God has been communicating to people through dreams. We will check the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament, even to the time of Jesus, to know what God has been doing with dreams. Then from there, given the basis in the Bible, then we will read some few dreams. Then you get to know God is really speaking. Do you know? The Bible said in the end time, one of the key things God is going to use is dreams.
And visions.
Visions and prophecies. Dreams, visions, and prophecies. It doesn't also mean that because of that, everybody gets a dream, we accept it. No.
Yeah.
when they bring the dream, we need to cross-check it and see the link and ask to confirm this. First and foremost, get this. The only person that can help me and you to overcome is the man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The one in the Bible. The one who died and resurrected. He is the only person that defeated Satan. Only person. Satan is not afraid of angels. Beware. In somewhere, Daniel, I've forgotten the chapter 10 or something of that sort. An angel that was sent to bring a message to Daniel was arrested 21 days. An angel. Satan is not afraid. A principality arrested an angel for 21 days until angel, is it Gabriel or one of them, the warriors, came to help him. So only one person defeated Satan. Abraham fell for Satan. Moses fell. David fell. It's only Jesus. What happened? First, he fasted and prayed. How many days? 40 days, 40 nights. And even after that one, Satan was not afraid of him. 40 days, 40 nights. No food, no water. And yet still, Satan was not afraid. And some of us, we've been told, we think that we do 2 days fasting, 1 day fasting, then we say, oh, Metiabrins unto her. We are ignorant. After Jesus had fasted and prayed, it was only one thing he used to defeat Satan.
The word.
It is written. The word. It is written. It is written. It is written. Satan himself was quoting Bible verses for Jesus.
Twisting
it. So until you know the word, you have read the word and allowed the spirit of the living God to teach me and you, forget, you will bow down, you will fall for Satan. We must study the word. After confessing Jesus, because the Bible says, whosoever will call upon the Lord, you need to call upon Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, whosoever, when he confessed Jesus as Lord, you must confess Jesus as Lord. And if you confess Jesus as Lord, what does it mean? Many of us have just confessed Jesus with our mouth as Lord, but not with our heart. So in somewhere, Luke chapter 6, 46, Jesus says something. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? So if Romans chapter 10 verse 9 is saying you must confess Jesus as Lord to be saved, so what Jesus is saying is that you must do what I say to be saved. Not just mere confession of mouth. The Bible says, at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee bow. And every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, confesses Jesus as Lord. So it means that Satan even confesses Jesus as Lord. Does it mean Satan is saved? No. So merely, that is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 21. He said, it's not those that say unto me, Lord, Lord, they shall enter the kingdom of God, but they that do the will of God. My dear Muslims, my dear Buddhists, traditionalists, occults, I know there are many of you people there. You may have even good and better hearts than I have. But I tell you this, until you come and believe that Jesus Christ died and resurrected for you, and is the only Savior and only Lord, you can never get salvation out of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm not talking about Easter, the one in the Quran, who did not die, who did not resurrect. According to Quran, Jesus did not die and resurrect. Quran chapter 4, verse 157 and 158. Quran chapter 4 is Nisa, N-I-S-A-A. Verse 157, 158 says, Jesus did not die. They didn't crucify him. Another was made to resemble Jesus Christ. So who was made to resemble him? So Jesus Christ of the Bible is different from Isa of the Quran. We have two different characteristics because Jesus Christ died. Isa did not die. So everybody on earth, your first point, if you want to be able to persevere, to overcome the days ahead, is to run to Christ Jesus, the one who died and resurrected on the cross. That is the first point. After confessing Jesus, you need to succumb. If you've not been baptized, please get your baptism done immediately. If you've been baptized wrongly, correct your baptism. Don't joke. I've seen people baptizing people as old as 90 years. I remember a certain soldier about a year ago came all the way from Takoradi, 92 years. He came to Kumasi from Takoradi. I said, "Daddy, you are too old. Let me come to Takoradi." He said, "No, I'm an old soldier. You too come in Kumagui." I was here. The man came to Kumasi. He called me. He said, "Meet me at Santasiwana." But I went. He said, "Let's go and baptize me." Correct your baptism. Be baptized in a flowing stream in the name of Jesus. That is what I've seen in the Bible. That's what Jesus succumbed to. Then from there, what do? You don't just stay in church. Let's look at John chapter 8, 31. Many say we believe on Jesus, but that is all. It's a lie. John chapter 8, verse 31. Let's read the word of God. Then Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him. These were Jews. Under normal circumstances, the Jews, they don't believe in Jesus. So since this one believed on Jesus, we thought Jesus should have pampered them. But he didn't pamper them for believing him. Satan himself believed in Jesus. Yes. Demons believe in Jesus. They know Jesus' power is more than them. So if it is just by belief, that's why we go to heaven. Then that Satan and all his demons will go. Because they all believe that Jesus is the one and only true living God. That is why the Bible says when we mention the name of Jesus, every knee bow. Why is it that when we mention the name of Jesus, they bow? Why is it that when you cast out demons in the name of Jesus, they go? They believe. So merely believing doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Believing means continuing in his word to the end. So he said, Jesus said unto the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word. Do you believe in Jesus? I know many of us Christians will say yes. Then we'll quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Yes, but will have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus? Many of us, we don't believe in Jesus. Why am I saying so? In John chapter 8, verse 11, the woman caught in adultery, John 8:11, Jesus pardoned the woman, didn't allow them to kill the woman. Like the way me and you were living in sin. I'm not an angel. I am never an angel. I have the same weaknesses you have. And I go to the Lord every day the same way you go. But I must preach the truth. When you are preaching the truth, somebody will ask you, when you are born again? I may not even know I've committed sin. That is why I have not gone to commit anything. But even maybe my speech may be sinful, I don't know. That is why when you ask me, when you are born again, I say, my ebony. Because I don't know. I don't want to pride myself. But I wouldn't go and commit anything intentionally once I know the Lord hates it. No, I won't do that. So he said, if you believe in him, Jesus said, go and sin no more. That's what Jesus told the woman. That he pardoned. Me and you, we've been in sin, living left, right in sin. And we run to Jesus. He did not kill us. He forgave us. Pardon us. It's the same method, the same command he gives. Go and sin no more. Check your life and let me check my life. Are we obeying? Many of us don't obey. In Matthew chapter 5, 48. Matthew 5:48. We claim we believe in Jesus. He said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Who is our heavenly Father? Jesus Christ. And he said, the way he was perfect, we should be. And you have men and women of God who are taking tithes and offering in the name of Jesus, saying Jesus has called them. Jesus said, be perfect like me. And they say, no, You cannot be better than Jesus. Are this not Antichrist? Are this not satanic agents? You say you believe in Jesus. I say I believe. In Luke chapter 5, 32. Luke 5, 32. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. It's correct. But I came to call sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. Why haven't you repented? Why haven't I repented? And we still say we believe in Jesus. We don't believe in him. Now, let me go and link this one. We've been talking about rapture. Is that not it? Yes, rapture is inside the Bible. But what did Jesus himself said about rapture? Whenever they're talking about rapture, they don't want to quote the very words of Jesus. Ah, the event that Jesus himself has promised his children that he will come to take them, and you said Jesus came and he did not talk about rapture? No, it wouldn't happen. Let's look at the key verses we quote for rapture so that we'll add what Jesus said. You need to believe this. Now, the preparation we're talking that we should prepare. If you don't believe the thing is coming to meet you, how do you prepare? If you don't believe you're going to write examination, how do you learn? The church, majority of us don't believe that the rapture is coming to meet us. So we cannot prepare. Nor something that you don't believe. You want the Lord to prepare you. No, he wouldn't prepare you. He will prepare those that believe. The words of your Lord himself, you don't believe it. And now you expect him to prepare me and you again? No, it wouldn't happen. Until we believe. If you don't believe Jesus, you are not a child of Jesus. You may be speaking in tongues. You may be preaching holiness. You may be living a holy life. You may be living a righteous life. But there is one thing, as he told the rich man, you are left with one thing. If thou want to be perfect. That one thing you have gotten wrong, I've gotten wrong. We have gotten it wrong. We need to work on it. Let's look at rapture. The main verse we quote for rapture. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Let's read it. It said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 53 is the main verse. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. The last trump. And I heard some people saying the last trump is Donald Trump. It's a lie. It's a lie. That's country. He said, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So, and we that remain shall be changed. So it is the trumpet that is going to bring rapture. Now let's go to see another scripture for rapture. Then now we will go and see, when did Jesus tell us that the trumpet was sound? This is what we have to do. Paul just quoted, as we go in, let's quote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 14. Listen to what Paul is saying. If we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Listen to this. Paul is saying, I am just re-quoting what Jesus is saying. But suddenly, after quoting this, the church doesn't want to go and look at what Jesus said. Because what we have preached is contrary to what Jesus said. So we don't want to go there. He said, we say this to you by the word of the Lord. That is by the word of Jesus. That we, which are alive and remain, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. This is the first sign. The Lord will descend. We will have to go and look at Matthew 24. Then we will see, when did Jesus say he's going to descend? He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel. The second time. The second thing is that the voice of the archangel, when will it sound? Because Jesus gave all the criteria in Matthew 24. And we will go to read that from 29 to 31. That is when all these signs Paul is talking about happen. He said, and the trump of God, another Donald Trump again, is that not it? And the Christ shall be right first. He said, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord. Now let's go to see. When did Jesus say this? Let's go to see Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. He talked about Jesus descending from heaven, the voice of the archangel, and the gathering. Now we're going to see what Jesus said about it. Matthew 24, let's start from 29. 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, quick tribulation. He will show you that tribulation he's talking about. That's verse 21 and 22. He says, for then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time never would there be. For except those days be shortened, there shall no spread be seen. But for the elect sake. So the tribulation there, where he said immediately after the tribulation, he's talking about immediately after the great tribulation. Now let's go to Matthew 24 from 29. Immediately after the tribulation, so let's add the great. Bible interprets itself. Immediately after the great tribulation, I know somebody will say he has added. If that is the case, when you go to church, read the Bible alone, don't interpret it. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give their light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Is it not now we are seeing Jesus coming? Let's continue. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Why are they, will they mourn? They will say that, what the saints have been saying, what the church has been saying, not knowing that their man, their father will come to take them, not knowing it's true. He said, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the power and great glory. So this one, they saw him coming in the sky. This never said that he came to stand on earth. Usually they've been saying this is when Jesus is coming on. This, it never stated anywhere here. Yeah. That he said he was coming, they saw him coming. So what in the sky, he said, then he continued. He said, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet. Is this not the trumpet? That First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 was talking about. That at the trumpet, he said, he shall send his angel with the sound of the trumpet and shall gather his elect. Let me ask you, after rapture, can somebody become elect? Rapture is the taking away of the Holy Spirit. Rapture is the taking away of mercy. Rapture is the taking away of the blood of Jesus. So if he will gather elect, this cannot be after rapture, because after rapture, nobody becomes elect. You people have been saying people will save themselves in their blood. Can their blood make them elect? No. Mm-hmm. It is only the blood of Jesus. Remember the foundation of salvation. When you believe in Christ Jesus, it is Jesus that is the foundation. So they start gather the elect. My dear people, the signs of rapture, Jesus descending from heaven, angels coming with the shout of a trumpet,
every eye seeing him.
Every eye seeing him. Is he not here? And he said, immediately after the tribulation. But yes, still, a lot of our churches, our men and women of God are changed. Still, rapture first. You see, many of you now, you are confused.
Oh, yeah.
Many of you, let me tell you this, men and women of God. Now, the vaccine will become the next normal norm to go to church. The same way you wear masks to go to church now, they are coming to do it and tell you, without vaccine, you cannot go to church.
Yeah.
And because of the investments we've made in the auditoriums, the cathedrals, and the church, we cannot allow it to go. God willing, next week when I come, I will, some verses that many of you, they want to use to deceive you. They saw, I've heard people say, pray over the vaccine. They say, if you drink any deadly thing, it will hurt you. Why don't they go to drink poison for us to see? God willing, next week. They say, how do we call it? Paul picked a snake. Paul didn't take the hand to the snake that bite it. He did not even see. That is why God protected him. God willing, those scriptures that they want to deceive you with. God willing, next week. Wherever I am in the village, if God gives me the permission, I will leave there and come and we will sit, we'll talk about, and also talk with dreams. As you know, we will continue to work. I've recorded a lot of messages. Today, as I talk to you, God willing, tomorrow, we're going to Rainbow Radio. We're talking about dreams that God has given based on the word of God, as well as coronavirus vaccine, God warning a lot of people. We are here to talk about it. We're not ready to stop until they say we wouldn't want you to preach again. That is all we've done. But until then, we will continue to warn people. We don't have a church. And all these messages, by the grace of Jesus, we record them if you need them. When it comes to coronavirus, they don't want anybody to think again. But we will continue to think. Remember, if you don't take the vaccine, you lose your job. You lose your building. You cannot go to school. You lose even your money in the bank account. It's coming. So start planning. Don't let them come to meet you impromptu. Think ahead. If you want to be added to one of our groups, currently we are using WhatsApp. But as Raymond said, we'll be moving. Yeah, Kosa. you can please write this number down. If you want to be added to one of the groups and receive godly messages, you just send us your name and your location. We store it and add you to one of the groups. This is not a group you can get up and come and be posting things there. No. If you're looking for such a group, don't send any message. These are groups, such messages will be sharing day in and day out. If we get 3, if we get 4, if we get 1. We will share. If the day God doesn't give us any message, we wouldn't put anything there. We are not forcing ourselves to do anything. This is the number. 0204-200-444. 0204-200-444. Reverend, yeah. You can take it about the studio, sir.
Okay. We thank God. You know, the issue is time we get deeper into the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. That's the basic problem a lot of Christians are struggling with. We are not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. You see, and that is where that mistake is leading us into the confusion, the state of mind a lot of people find themselves. Because now people look at the world events and what is coming, and they look at their church doctrines and they are wondering, so where are we? What is coming? Who do we believe now? You know, that state of confusion. But it shouldn't be so. The Bible is clear. If we would humble ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, we will not have this double-minded confusion that a lot of people are. And even pastors. Pastors are confused now. Some pastors are confused because they preach something for years, and now they look at the way things are turning up in the world, events and all that, and the questions that their church members are asking them, and it's like, so this one, what do we do? What do we say? What do we tell them? You know, it's time to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct you. If to the point of apologizing to your members that, yes, I taught a wrong doctrine for years, but this is not what the Bible really meant by what we were saying. It's better to redeem your image now than to hold on to it, a wrong doctrine, and eventually it turns against you. And like, you know, there's one of the saddest things that can happen to a pastor is when your church members come to you and tell you that, oh, pastor, you lied to us. It will be so embarrassing, so it will be so damning and so serious that the Lord told some people some time back, this thing will cause some pastors to even commit suicide, because it will be so they can't handle the shame that would be associated with the fact that their church members will look at them in the face and tell them that, so, pastor, you lied to us. Why didn't you tell us the truth? So please, let's get back to the basics, the Bible, and allow the Holy Spirit. You see, let's forget about what we've heard, the movies, the Left Behind movies, and all these confused things that has caused in our minds. And allow the Holy Spirit to give us a fresh understanding. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I had with me Brother Yao. Brother Yao Redu. And God willing, next week will be coming your way. The program is recorded and it will be on issues, spiritissues.info. And we thank God for tonight. Okay, so listeners, good night. Oh, this is Eben. And Issues of Life is the program on Spirit 88.3 FM. In Kumasi, Ghana, to our listeners online. Okay, so good night and God bless you.